thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
This is the day the Lord has made, right?
Amen.
I got up this morning and I asked the Lord, I said, what is it that you want me to present for communion? And like I always do, I start out with worship. And so I opened up this book that has 400 songs in it and opened it up. And this song came up from the inside out. Does anybody know that song? Okay. And I sang through that song. And after I sang through that, he said, do this in remembrance of me. And I thought, well, that's odd. And then he gave me another song. I flipped to the next song. And that one was called, if I can find it, Glorious Day, Living He Loved Me. So after I got done worshiping, he said, I want you to give them the lyrics to these songs. So that's what I'm going to do this morning. So from the inside out, it says, a thousand times I failed, still your mercy remains. And should I stumble again, I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. And in the other song, Glorious Day, it says, one day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day his coming, oh, glorious day. And I thought that was the perfect lyrics for communion today. He said, do this in remembrance of me. And I go back and I look at things in the scriptures, like what he did for Mary Magdalene. He took her out of torment. What he did for Peter when he walked on water. He showed him a different way to walk. Okay. What he did for the centurion who said, all you have to do, you can speak it from afar and it will be done. When he took Saul and changed him to Paul, knocked him off his horse, and the one who was there when Stephen was murdered was changed to write most of the New Testament. This is how I remember the Lord. But most of all, what I remember, and I'll never forget, is when he went on the cross to die for us, to take away our sins, something he wished he didn't have to do. Father, if there's any other way, take this cup from me. But he was obedient, and the Lord said, there is no other way. This is the only way. Sin must be covered by blood. And he took the cross for us. And each one of us put him there. the sins that we've done in our lives, all that. This is how I remember Jesus. And if we remember that cross every day and with everything we do and every time we want to share with somebody, he will reveal himself in us and we will give that meat in due season. So as we take communion today, I want to read for you out of Luke. So just as I was trying to get my cups apart, they were stuck together. So I want to remind you guys that these cups are tapered so they can stick together. Just wiggle them a little bit or twist them a little bit and they'll come apart. Okay, I want to make sure that we did that. So could I have you all stand? I want to read out of Luke. And when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said this. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread and he gave thanks and broke it and said unto them, saying, this is my body in which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Please partake of the bread. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Please partake of this. Lord, we thank you for what you did on the cross for us. We thank you for that glorious day for us, but not a great day for you. Lord, we thank you that you gave your life for us, Lord, so that we could have life, everlasting, eternal life. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this church. We thank you for the worship team who's about to do worship. Lord, please bless every single person in the congregation today. Anoint them, Lord, and give them the meat in due season. Thank you. Let's worship.
So this week on the way to work, man, it was such a beautiful sight. So as we're driving to work every day, think of the things we see, you know, and I pull up to a light. And when I pulled up to this light, I saw this lady over there, and I felt a shift in the atmosphere, and I could tell she was praying in tongues. And I thought, well, this was at the downtown bus station, the Ronstadt Center, right? So I work, and I pulled up to the light by the Ronstadt Center, and I look over there, and I see a lady, and I can tell she's praying. And then I see a man over there, and he's open air preaching the gospel, right? And then, it was like heaven was invading the Ronstadt Center. You could feel the touchdown in the atmosphere, and you could hear the demons just screeching and leaving. It was so beautiful. And I thought, if this is not a sight for us to see every day, like think of the things we see when we're going to work, right? And when I was driving to work, I saw the kingdom of heaven coming down and heard the demons fleeing at the downtown Ronstadt Center yesterday on my way to work. It was beautiful. It was so beautiful. Come on, Lord. He's coming. He's coming.
We serve an awesome God. We were just singing what our rock, the rock of all salvation, the rock of life. That's what we're to build our lives on. So he gave me Isaiah 56, and I'm going to go to it now. So it's Isaiah 56, 7. And it speaks of the house of God. It speaks of the house of prayer. And that's what our solid rock is. When we go into prayer in times of need, boy, does he meet us there, does he not? He's an awesome God, a faithful God. So I will read Isaiah 56, 7. Even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Amen. He is the solid rock that we stand on and that we build our lives on. And prayer, make it a house of prayer. Make your house a house of prayer. Amen.
Good morning. I got a question for all of you. How strong is faith? It's very strong, right? Matthew 17:20 says, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Just imagine what we could do with 100% faith. It's uncomprehendable. You can't think of it, and it's hard to think about, but you could do beautiful things. You could cast out demons. You could even do that with very, very little faith. It's because God puts that in you because he wants you to grow. He wants you to help people and tell them about the Word of God. So they could grow and you could grow in him. Like the weedy soil, the rocky soil, and the hard soil. You want to eventually work your way up to the good soil so you could become a tree that could bear fruit and be pleasureful to other people. Correct? Amen.
God always loves you and protects you forever, forever, forever.
Out of the mouth of babes, right? the joy of the Lord is my strength. And this psalm is so good that I have to read it. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great God over all the earth. Praise God. Amen. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. Yeah. He shall choose our inheritance for us. He's going to choose our inheritance. Yeah. The excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with a sound of trumpet, with a sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises unto the King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth, he is the King. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shield of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. Praise them. Praise them.
Okay. I just want to share the past couple of Sundays, I've been moved to worship towards the door. And I'm listening, remember, I'm working on that. So I keep hearing like worship, worship. What is worship, right? This is Sawarita House of Worship, right? And we're going to praise, and that worship is our hearts before our Lord. And I just feel, oh man. I just feel that it's coming. It's coming, and this house of worship is going to be filled with hearts that are going to fall before our Lord. We just have to worship. We have to move. There's no specific way of worship. Get up, move around, let the Lord lead you. Give your hearts. He sees you. And that's all that matters. I was talking to my husband this morning about being intentional about what we have on our hearts and asking God specifically, right? Like his word says. And I just, Lord, I just ask you to fill this house, Father God. I ask for growth, Father God. Our youth, Father God, bring them here, Father God, so we can worship before you, Lord. So we can do it now, Lord. So when we are in your presence, Father God, we can freely worship. But it starts now. And just lay yourself before the Lord. Just let it happen. Feel it and do it. That's what I'm hearing. Feel it and do it. Thank you.
Morning, church. So I wasn't planning on coming up here, but I felt like the Holy Spirit leading me up here because he's been putting a word in my heart, and it's obedience. And the other day, we had a little Bible study at the house, just me and the wife and the kids, and that was it. It was about obedience. And I just feel like I wanted to come up here and share with you all because that's kind of hard to do, you know, to obey God when he tells you, hey, talk to this person. And like Henry was saying about a story that he was talking about a guy when he went to training. Was it training? Yeah. But he obeyed. And that, if that what he did, that obedience that he did, it moved somebody. It touched somebody. And I struggle with that sometimes because, you know what, I really don't like coming up here. I get all nervous, jittery, and I feel like I'm going to say something that I shouldn't have said, and I'll be like, oh, just bleep that out. But you know what, just all I'm going to say is be obedient. Just like Christ was obedient, how one man was obedient to the will of God, and now that's why we are here. And we have access to his presence. We have access to his kingdom. And I just want to encourage each and every one of you, the youth especially, just be obedient to God. If God tells you to move, don't ask questions. Ask him later and just move. You know? Thank you, guys.
I had no intention of coming up here at all. But, quick thought, when he said obedience over there, I thought, wow, that reminds me of something. And then I remembered at the youth convention, the pastor talked about agreement and prayer. And agreement and prayer struck me a lot because there's a lot of religions in this world. And a lot of religions, they don't have a lot of agreements, like the Catholic Church and a lot of other churches that agree with the Catholic Church think that you need to be, like, you need to do the good deeds in order to go into heaven, but that's not true. That's not true at all. So, I just wanted to say, well, I don't really know what to say, but, you know. But, we need to be agreed. We need to agree that a lot of people don't quite know about, like, the Holy Spirit and stuff. So we all need to just agree on the fact that God, like my mom told me a long time ago, like years ago, she said to me that it's like three cups that God's made of. He's, well, God in one cup, and then he's Jesus in another, and then he's the Holy Spirit in the other cup. And then all together, that makes the Holy Spirit kingdom. And so I just wanted to say that to you guys.
Yeah. It'll actually be a nice, easy transition because some of what you guys were talking about is already a part of my sermon. So it's just how God works things together, right? Like he knows what's happening. He knows what he's talking to us about. And obedience is a good part of what I have too. So the title of my sermon is What is Your Pursuit? I know that God's been talking to even me a lot about we're busy. We're just busy all the time, right? And that's the thing is like between kids' sports and, you know, work and all these different things, it's just, it's busy. Like it can be constantly moving and going. And I know for me, I really like doing my like prayer time and reading all that stuff first thing in the morning. And last week I felt like it was really hard to get up. I was like struggling to wake up. It was just, you know, we had, Lonnie had been in the hospital and you get no sleep in there because it's like every few minutes they're coming in. And then when we came out, it was just like we hit the ground running again. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't really a pause and reset or anything. So during the week, I could definitely tell like I was getting tired and I was passing out super early and not wanting to wake up in the morning. And, you know, that's the thing though, is that we can very easily let life get in the way of things that we should be allowing God to just take over all the time. Right. And I know at a certain point, like I was like, I know I was kind of stressing and I was like, oh my gosh, like I got to do all this work and have all this stuff. And it's like building up because I came back from like being in the hospital with Lonnie and not really getting any work done to like, okay, now I got to catch up on all this stuff I had to do with all the other stuff that's building up. So I really felt like this like stress, right? Of, oh my gosh, like I don't have time. Like I got to get going. I got up late. Now I got to go. You know what I mean? Like, and I really, really felt like for probably 2 days there, I did my reading towards the end of the day instead of the morning. And I had this feeling, I was getting it done, but at the same time I was like sleepy. Right. So then I'm like trying to read the Bible. I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, because it's the end of the day and I'm tired. And that's the thing is, and then I felt like God just was like, see, do you remember that you said this is why you didn't like doing it at the end of the day? And that's the thing is, because I did. I really did say, there was a while there where I was reading my Bible at the end of the day, and I really did feel like it was more of a struggle to stay awake than actually getting to like dive into what God was giving me, right? So then it was this constant feeling of like, well, I guess let me reread those things because I didn't really read what it said because I was falling asleep through the middle of it. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to do it in the evening anymore. I'm going to do it in the morning because it's like my focus. You know what I mean? Like, and so I was like, you know, it doesn't matter how far behind or what else is happening. Like I'm switching back to the morning. Like I'm just going to do it. Even if I get up late, well, guess what? I still got to read and I'm going to spend the time and then everything else will just happen. You know what I mean? Like, so that's the thing is, I really feel like, what is your pursuit? Cindy had talked about some things that I know that God's really, I've definitely had this feeling of God's really prepping. You know what I mean? Like, oh, church, don't get it wrong. Just because you don't see numbers growing, there's growth. And that's the thing is that I know that God talked to me about that for a long time too, is that our growth, our spiritual growth is so much more important than any kind of growth like other ways, right? And that's the thing is that I really liked what she was saying though, because it's the same feeling I've had the whole time, which is that God's doing something and it's like a season of like preparation, right? Like, okay, I'm trying to give you these things. I'm trying to show you these things. And, my message, I really felt like it has a lot of that in there, is like something that God's giving us in preparation for what's to come. And that it's extremely important for us to realize some of these things in order for what's coming, for us to be prepared for it, right? For us to be equipped. See, that's the thing, is that God doesn't give us things. He doesn't just say, good luck. You know what I mean? That's, if we really pay attention, we'll see that he prepared us for what's coming, that he did speak to us. He did give us things and he did, you know, basically load up our arsenal, right? For what we need to go through what's coming, right? And that's the thing, is that all of that happens, but sometimes if we're not paying attention, we don't even notice it because our pursuit's elsewhere, right? And then that's why we get this feeling of, well, God, you didn't prepare me for this. What happened? You know what I mean? And he's like, no, I did. I gave it to you. You know what I mean? So let's go. I want to go into, oh gosh, I don't know where I want to start. Let's go 1 Samuel 15. I've really read a lot. I don't know if you remember my dad asking about who likes to read about the kings. I really like reading about the kings. Like, it's just a really cool thing to me. And honestly, like, I really feel like you just see God work in such awesome ways in all of that. You know what I mean? Like, he gives them direction. He gives them, you know, that's what he's doing in our lives. Right. And I think that that's what's really cool about them. This story is a little on the sad side, but it's going to go good with what God's talking about today. So 1 Samuel 15:1 says, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him. In the way, how he laid wait for him. In the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim. 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye shewed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites, and Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur. That is over and against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But every thing that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and is gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgad. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen, which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore Then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. And Saul said unto Samuel, yeah, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, and chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. This story can seem kind of harsh, right? Because I know when I first read, I was like, oh, but women, children, babies, everything. You know what I mean? Like, it's so sad. You know what I mean? Like, and that's the thing, though, is that it's really giving us a clear picture, though, of what God's trying to tell us in the importance of obedience, right? Like, reading through this story and going through it, you know, Saul, he's been set up, right? Like, I like, even in a part of that, it talks about how even when you thought you were nothing, like when you were just little, you know what I mean? I made you something, right? Like, I put you there. And that's the thing, is that sometimes we know that God talked to us about something, but we let what we're seeing or what we're feeling or what we're thinking get in the way of what God's actually told us to do, right? And it can be so important for us in all of those moments to stay focused, not on what's happening around us, but on what God's doing. See, even if you, as like, there's certain things that stood out to me big time in this story, which was that not only did he like think in his head, he justified like what I did was good because, you know, even though I didn't kill them all, like I kept the things that I could use for a sacrifice for you. You know what I mean? Like, and then he also justified by being like, you know, I didn't want them to be mad. You know what I mean? And they said they were going to sacrifice. So like, I thought you'd want sacrifices. You know what I mean? Like, and God was like, you know, that doesn't matter because I asked you to do something. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing, is that what is the one thing that gets in the way a lot of times of what we're doing? It's us. See, and that's the thing, is even this morning I heard so much about like how, you know, the enemy did this and he got, guys, the enemy is dead. God defeated him. He and conquered death for you, that you might live a life that is in communion with God and doing what he has for you. Stop giving any kind of power to something that God's already said is done and finished and completed. See, it's us who chooses, like, am I going to give this power? Just like in this story, Saul knew exactly what he was supposed to do. God gave him what he was supposed to do. But he let how he felt and what he heard and the fear of people and everything else get in the way of what he already knew God told him. See, It's what we give power to. It has nothing to do with the fact that the enemy came and tried to get you. He tried to do something. No. See, God already defeated him. It's us now that has to learn how to walk in that. Walk in what we know God's given us. Walk in what we know he says has already been done. See, he defeated death. He defeated the enemy. And when he died on that cross for your sins, he paid the price. He was done. So now we gotta learn that this world has no hold or control over what we do. See, if we begin to operate in the kingdom, we begin to realize that every single thing is a choice that he's given us, but it's our choice to say, nope, I know what God's done. When things come up and things arise, it may be something that tries to take your attention, but we know what he's done. See, so what is your pursuit this morning? Is it friends? Is it just you're so focused only on maybe there's problems or something in marriage, or maybe there's, you know, maybe you just want that promotion really bad at work, so that's your pursuit. Or maybe you're wanting something bigger in life and that's just your pursuit. Or are you letting your pursuit be God so that he can place everything else in order around you? See, if we go after God, like really press in for what he has for us, not just coming to church and not just doing the normal day to day, but really pressing in, like every day, going after God, going after his word, going after the things he has for us. See, the fruits of the Spirit become apparent in your life. Because see, the focus really just needs to be him. We complicate. I'm going to simplify this as much as possible today because we also got to be quick. So this is the thing, is that we let things get in the way. Okay, I got to worry about going to work and I got to get this done. I got to pay this bill and I got to go here and I got to do that. And I got to, but see, those shouldn't be our goals, our main focus. See, God should be our focus all the time. If we just learn that, if we just focus on him, we don't have to do anything on our own. Right. Okay, let me see, because I feel like you're not quite understanding what I'm trying to say. This is, see, as I focus on God and I'm reading and I'm going after him and every day pressing in, see, he's going to begin to talk to me about things in my life. He's going to tell me like, hey, let me help you with this thing with your finances over here. Oh, you know what? Like, let me show you how to be patient in this area because I'm working something. Hey, you know, you got a little angry right there today. Let me show you how to deal with that by being long-suffering. You know, if you are worried about this, let me take it. See, that's the thing. What we don't realize is that the focus really does have to be God, like 100%. And if we allow him to do that, he works everything else out. See, what we worry about and what we take on, he's already got control of. But the thing is that we allow ourselves to get all worked up about things, and then that becomes where it becomes an issue, right? See, if we just allow him to speak to us on a regular basis, I guarantee you that every little thing that he's wanting to talk to you about, every little thing he's wanting to do for you, is still going to happen. But it's going to happen in a much greater way because now you're understanding that my focus is him. It's not the things around me. It's not what I see over here and what's happening over here and this thing that wants to worry me. Think about how much, I was talking to a teacher about this. Think about how much over the last few years, anxiety and stress has actually become a thing. See, that's the thing is, I'm not saying that anxiety isn't real. I'm not saying that depression isn't real. I'm not saying that stress isn't real. I'm not saying that those things aren't real. They are things, but now we've put names and labels and everything to them. And on top of putting those to it, we've also put a way to help them, right? Let me give you medicine. Let me do this. Let me do that, right? But see, God tells us to be anxious for nothing. See, and the reason that we begin to let things work us up in our lives is because we begin to focus on them instead of focusing on what God's telling us. Every time that something comes up in your life that worries you, stresses you out, makes you feel a certain way, I'm telling you, get in the Bible. Because if you just go after him, you'll begin to see that that anxiety just melts away. Because you'll see that he will give you something greater than the world can ever give you. See, pills may just cover up what you're feeling. It may make you feel better for a moment, but God will give you peace that passes all understanding in every single situation. Because you will begin to put your faith and your trust in him, knowing that it's already taken care of. If you're worried all the time, I can feel... It's like if you're worried all the time, like that feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna have a heart attack. I'm so stressed all the time. I'm so worried all the time. Can I tell you, you gotta give it to Jesus. You gotta allow God to move. Stop giving it so much power and so much strength that you're just hanging on to it for dear life. Let God deal with it. Focus on him and allow him to give you direction in what you're doing. See, that's the thing is, it's all about what we're focused on. If we focus on God, the knowledge increases as we continue to just go after him. It continues to just pour in because now we're giving it time, right? It's like building any relationship. If I wanted to build a relationship with my husband, but I never talked to him, never saw him, never asked any questions and didn't care, how is that relationship going to grow? See, it's the same exact thing with God. You want to hear from God? You got to get to know his voice. You want to get to know his voice? You got to spend time. You got to wait. You got to listen. That's the thing is, yes, for new Christians or even, see, that's the thing. Even Christians that have been Christians for a really long time, if they're not used to listening to God, that's why they have this question of, well, I don't know how to hear from him. Like, how do you hear from God? And that's the thing is, see, the relationship and the time spent allows you to recognize exactly who he is the second he's speaking. It becomes like listening to your parents. You just know. You know it's them without even seeing them, without even having to see them come around the corner. You hear your parents talking, you know they're there. That's the thing. It's the same thing with God. If you spend time and you get to know him and you recognize his voice because you begin to hear it on a regular basis, you know when he's speaking to you. When you're out at the grocery store, when you're at work, when you're at home, when you're just dealing in simple relation, day-to-day relationships, you will hear when God is the one telling you to do something. Make a move, right? Let's go to... let's go to Proverbs 1:7. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. See, that's the thing, is going after God, only caring about what he's telling us and what he's wanting us to have and what he's doing for us, that's like a fear of the Lord, right? That's like, he's so much more important than all of these other things. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to miss out on what God's given me. what he's telling me, because that's what's important to me. See, that is where knowledge comes, because now we're pressing in. Like, that's what we're going after. That's what we want. You see, that's the thing, is when we don't allow any instruction from him, it makes us falter in every situation. That's why sometimes it'll become so easy for, like, when you think like, okay, God, I'm going this way. I can see where I'm going. But then all of a sudden you're like, oh shoot, what's happening over here? Right? Because that's the thing, is if we don't allow God to instruct us, we're everywhere. Every little thing pulls our attention, because now we're worried about every little thing. Every little thing matters, right? Where if we just realize, like, that's the only thing that matters and that's where I'm going, the rest God takes care of it for us. See? Okay, so let's go to Isaiah 58:11. It says, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. See, this is what happens when we allow God to be the only thing that guides us. See, he's telling us, the Lord shall guide thee continually. Like, he's never going to just leave us a spot and be like, okay, figure it out. No, see, that's why I'm saying this can be simplified so much if we just realize focusing on God, he will guide us in every single thing, not just in the big, huge things like, I got to figure out what I'm doing about, you know, paying something, or I lost my job. Like, so that's the thing. It's not just in the big, huge things. See, it doesn't give any special specification like that. Like, God will only guide you in the big moments of your life. Like, it's literally God and the Lord shall guide thee continually. See, that's through everything. He's going to guide me through every single situation, regardless of whether it's the highs of my life, the lows of my life, the in-betweens, all of it. He's going to guide continually through all of it. And it says, and satisfy thy soul. I don't know. We've talked about it several times, but the soul is, you know, our emotions, our, you know, all of those things that kind of tend to drive people when we think in an earthly way, right? That's the body. Soul becomes the mind, will, and emotions. There we go. So it is emotions. And then our thought process, right? Like, oh, well, these are all the bad things that could happen if I do this. You know what I mean? Like, your mind can really get in the way, right? So that's the thing. And satisfy thy soul. It's going to quiet it and make it happy. See, because it's going to understand that the Spirit's got control of it, right? And then, and satisfy thy soul in drought, in trouble, right? And make fat thy bones. That's, you're going to have an abundance, right? That's kind of basically what, and thou shalt be like a watered garden. Whew, not dry, not lacking, not any of that, but green and lush and all of those things, right? And like a spring of water whose waters fail not. See, when we focus on what he's doing, he's telling us, this is what you get. All of the good things, all of the things you need to sustain, to move forward, to continue, and not at any point be cut off, but continue to flow if you allow it to flow in your life. See, we cut things off. We let the drought start when we decide, oh my gosh, I got to focus on this instead of focusing on God. That's the thing. Don't let them take your focus. Don't let anything put you in the area of drought. Let it keep you where you're supposed to. Let God guide you continually through all of it, every single moment. Okay, let's go to Hebrews 13, verse 8. This is a little bit side. I meant to go into this earlier, but I skipped it. But this kind of has a little bit to do with just like, I just want us to remember that God is the source, right? Whenever we hear things, whenever we see things, whenever any of those things, he's ultimately the person we always want to hear from, right? Like he's the one we always want to be going back to. He's the one we always want to have the final say of what really is, right? Because he's truth. So this says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, right? So I think it's a really like big thing now, in especially with social media being so big, right? This kind of like over saturation of information. Like, I mean, that's the thing, right? Is that this is an extremely important time for us to be looking to God for what is truth. Because, you know, if you read all the things everywhere and the things that people are saying, it's so just confusing, right? Because you hear one thing over here and then you hear another thing over here and, oh, well, maybe so-and-so says this and maybe this is what, but that's the thing. The sad thing is that this is the same way it's gotten in religions, right? Is that it's just become so like, well, somebody went and decided this is the way that this should be said and this is the way that should be said. But that's the thing, is God, he gives us everything we need if we go directly to him. See, so for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not been profited them that have been occupied therein. See, it's God. Go after God. Don't be taken. Don't be swayed and changed to all of these different areas and allow them to take you this way. And maybe this is what I need. And can I tell you, do not replace your personal time of diving in with God with preachers and other books and other things and things like that. Because I'm telling you, the thing that you need is just God. If you dive in and you go after, he's going to speak to you about things. Become dependent on just that. Like, I'll be the first one to say, I like watching like Stephen Furtick here and there and things like that, but I don't make it my every single day. It's not my thing to be like, oh, I need to watch that pastor like every day or another pastor every day. The thing that I got to do is go after God every day. Because see, he's the only one that knows what we need and what's coming and what's happening in our lives. Okay. So let's go to Daniel 2:19. This is just a great story, right? But we're going to read a certain part. Daniel 19 says, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a... So, okay, some backstory. Like, the king is needing for... he's wanting a dream... What's it called? Interpret it. There you go. I couldn't think of the word. He's having a dream interpreted and it's like everybody's failing, right? Nobody can seem to get him what he needs and stuff. And so he comes to Daniel. And what I actually really like in the other part of this is that Daniel's like, okay, let me take this to, he's got like a council of people, right? And basically is like, let's pray about it. Like, let's go after God. You know what I mean? And so it says, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom. See, what I really liked in this story is, like, you go through all of this stuff. He actually goes after God for, like, okay, God, give it, you know, you want to tell me what this dream is, basically, right? And God gives it to him. But I just love that after God gives it to him, he's like, thank you, God. You know what I mean? Like, that you gave me the insight. And, but that's the thing is, then he even talks about how God's the one who gives us wisdom. See, and that's the part that I want us to catch is that, see, Daniel by himself wasn't what revealed this vision. It was God who gave him what he needed. It was God who showed him so that he could be set up in a good place with the king, right? And that's the thing is that God does that for us as we just focus on God. Like, okay, if people bring us problems, if people say things to us, we take it to God and let God set you up for greatness. Let him be what works it out for you. See, it's the same exact thing we've been talking about. Turning back and allowing us to realize that it's God who does it all, every single part, so that if we just allow him to move and we allow him to do what he's going to do, he's going to give us the things we need. And it's not just that he's going to give you something in a single moment, but he really does see the big picture. So he sets you up for what's to come. See, it's even like the Bible talks about, I can't think of where it's at right now, but it talks about how maybe the verse after God's thoughts, his thoughts are greater than our thoughts. See, and that's the thing is then it goes on to his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, anything that we could ever imagine for ourselves, right? And that's the thing is that we got to realize that it's him already dealing with it. Allow him to deal with it. Go after him. Let yourself rest in his presence in every single moment. Focus on what's important. Pursue him constantly in everything. And he's going to work all of the things out around it because he's already got a hold on those things. And all he's going to do is just continue to give you things in your life that just increase your wisdom and let you see what you need to see for what's coming, right? See, even now, I see things that my parents told me that I was kind of like, oh, okay. But then as you get older, see, like, wisdom kind of increases, right? Because now you've gone through some things in your life and you realize, like, oh, man, like, if I would have just listened to what they said, like, this whole process would have been so much easier, right? See, that's the thing. It's the same thing that God does in our lives. He gives us things. But if we're not listening, if we're not pursuing him in every single thing, then we're missing it a lot of times because we're only focused on what we see and not on the things of the kingdom, the things that he's trying to place in our life, the things that he's doing, right? So let's go to Proverbs 3, verse 1. And it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. See, so that right there already is amazing, right? Because he's telling us, like, you know, what do they already say about, like, anxiety and all that stuff, right? They talk about how, like, oh, it increases heart attacks. It, like, makes you have shorter life, like, all that stuff. Well, that's the thing. See, God's already got the answer. He's got the remedy for us, right? So my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the tablet of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. See, when we gain understanding, it sets us up not just with him, but you'll see that it sets us up with things around us too. Our jobs, the people he wants us to talk to, the things he wants us to do. It sets us up all around. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Okay. This is where it's so hard is that, see, we learn things in school. We learn like scientific things. We learn all that stuff. And then when God's telling us to do something, we go, oh God, I don't think that's right. Yeah. I don't think it works that way. See, that's the thing, is it's not always going to make sense to us what God's telling us to do. But if we're obedient in all of it, we're going to see that he's working something together for good. See, don't lean on what our own understanding is or what we think things should be, right? You got to lean on God in everything. It says, lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. I really like that this is in with all of this greatness, right? Because what's the first thing that as humans we tend to do when we're not happy with what's happening? Ah, man, everything's going wrong. Things are bad. Like, I don't know why all this keeps happening. I don't know why I keep struggling. I don't understand why I can't just get on top of things already. But see, that's the thing. Again, it's a choice because we know that God's already done something in our life. We know that God says that all things work together for good. So we should really just be allowing God to show us what he's going to show us and know that what he's putting us through isn't to hurt us, but to increase us, to give us more, to bless us, to place us in an area that he's wanting to place us in. See, that's the thing is we have to realize that we don't want to despise the chastening and the, you know, the correction that comes in our life because it's building us up. See, that's the thing. It builds you up for what God's giving you. That's why you don't want to let it take your focus either. It's the reason that when things come up in your life and things happen, even if you're not happy with what it is, turn to God and allow him to give you peace, allow him to speak to you, and allow him to do things in your life because you'll begin to see that those things that seemed monumental before really were just a blip in the radar. It wasn't even that bad. See, we make it seem worse, and sometimes we even make it worse because we allow what came up in our life to redirect our focus off of what we knew we should have been doing. Even as a father, the son in whom he... Okay, so let's just go back. Despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord, by wisdom, hath founded the earth. By understanding, hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due. And when it is in the power of thine hand to do it, say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways, for the ford is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. We don't want to be fools. See, that's the thing, is wisdom is so important in our life. But wisdom, it really is, that understanding is unlocked through the Holy Spirit. See, he gives us the things that we need and he speaks to us. It's the reason the Bible comes alive for us, is because he's alive and he's working in it. So if we allow him to speak to us and give us things, he begins to place things in our life and give us understanding, instead of where before we may have been like, that makes no sense. See, he will give you wisdom and understanding, but you have to be going after him for it. You have to be in pursuit of what he has for you. Let's go to Isaiah 28. I'm sorry. Yeah. Can you put that up really quick? I don't know if that's the one I wanted. Okay, yeah. Isaiah 28, verse 23 says, give ear and hear my voice. Listen and hear my speech. Does the plowman keep plowing all day to sow? Does he keep turning his soil and breaking the clods? When he has leveled its surface, does he not sow the black cumin and scatter the cumin? Plant the wheat in rows, the barley in the appointed place, and the spelt in its place. For he instructs him in right judgment. His God teaches him. For the black cumin is not threshed with a threshing sledge, nor is a cart wheel rolled over the cumin, but the black cumin is beaten out with a stick, and the cumin with a rod. But bread, flour, must be ground. Therefore, he does not thresh it forever, break it with his cart wheel, or crush it with his horsemen. This also comes from the Lord of hosts, who is wonderful in counsel and excellent in guidance. I just like this verse because it's like, it's talking about how, like, there's all these things that you have to do. There's these things that we learn, and God teaches them to us. Do you know what I mean? Like, let's just look at the Bible. If we go all the way back, we didn't know everything, right? Technology, all of those things have grown over time because God has given them to people. See, it's, we have to understand that God works in all of it, in every single part, which is why, like, we get so caught up thinking about just what's now. But when you break it down and you look back, like, God gave people instruction in every single thing that they did. He gave them instruction and gave them new things, gave them counsel on how to do it and the best ways to do it, right? See, that's the thing, is we got to go to God because he's the only one that knows those things, and he's the one that gives us those gifts in order for us to move forward. Let's go to, this is the last verse I have. Proverbs 24. It says, through wisdom is a house built, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong. Yeah, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. He that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person, and the thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. if thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death and those that are ready to be slain. If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? My son, eat thou honey, because it is good, and the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. See, go after God for wisdom. All of these scriptures have talked about how it gives you peace, how it's sweet to you. It gives you rest. It gives you, that's the thing, is it's telling you all the things it gives you in your life. You see chaos and craziness. You see things happening. Go after God for things. See, we will show fruits as we're going after God for things. I can tell you that even for me, there's times where I want to be angry and frustrated. And God's like, you better not say anything. You better keep your mouth shut. And that's the thing, is that God will give us direction to every single little thing. And it shows, because we won't look like the world. See, the way that they handle things, the way that they deal things, the worry, the stress, the anxiety, like all of those different things. If you struggle with them in any which way, give it to God. Allow him to be the one who moves. Focus on him and him only. See, we are coming to a time that is just sheer craziness, right? Sorry, I had one more scripture. Go to 2 Timothy 3. See, he says, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laid with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. See, the Bible tells us, okay, I really liked when this scripture came up when I was reading about this, because I'm gonna be honest with you, these scriptures I usually kind of forget about. You're doing like, I don't know why. I just, you know, I really like the scriptures that give you like a little this or something, right? But that's the thing. This is one of those ones that's kind of like, all the bad things. You know what I mean? Like, but it's important because it's talking about perilous times. That's like specifically what it's talking about. And it's telling us that we're going to see all these things, right? But that's the thing, is if you look through this list, because when I was looking through this list of things, I was like, man, we see a lot of that already, right? But see, that's the thing, is we're never meant to just worry about it. This is where I knew that God was talking about like the preparation. See, we can very easily become focused with every little thing that we don't need to be focused on. Oh, those people and the way they handled that situation, like the president of the United States isn't the one I wanted, or whatever those situations might be. Oh, they passed a proposal that I didn't want to be passed. Oh, this happened, that happened, whatever, right? But see, that's the thing, is it talks about perilous times. These are things that you're going to see, right? Never in that does God say, so freak out when you see them. Okay? Because that's not what we're supposed to do. See, this is where God's trying to prep the church, is because we're going to see a lot of craziness happen. We're already seeing a lot of craziness happen, which is why people get so worked up about it. Because they're like, oh my gosh, how dare he say that? Or how dare this happen? And that's the thing, is we're seeing crazy stuff already. But that's the thing, is we're not supposed to be focused on the craziness. It's like
two wrongs don't make a right, right?
Right.
See, it's the same thing. Your fruits will be seen when you're going after God. Because where everybody else is freaking out because there's stuff that's happening that they're not happy with, or where your neighbor made you real upset, you're going to have a different reaction to what's going on. You're going to have a reaction that shows who God is. See, that's the thing, is perilous times are going to happen, but you're meant to shine bright through those moments. But we shine bright because of who he is in us. So if we're spending no time with him and we're not pursuing him over other things, then we're going to look exactly like the world that's crazy around us. And then, not only then, we also kind of become a part of the problem. See, that's the thing, is how many times do we hear people just so unhappy with Christians because they did this or they said that, or I got hurt at church, or I had this happen, or I had that happen. See, God doesn't want us focusing on each other. He wants us focusing on him. Yeah, he wants us loving on each other, but he doesn't want us tearing each other down. See, you shouldn't look like the perilous times that are happening. If you're spending time with God and you're allowing him to work in your life, naturally, not even because of anything that you are trying to do yourself, but naturally because of the changes God is making within, they're going to flow out. And then you're going to look different to people because you are different. Because now it's not showing Rebecca, it's showing God in Rebecca. See, that's the whole point, is that we have got to learn to stop freaking out at what's happening and just learn that God's got it all under control already. So if we go after God, he's going to give us direction on what we do. He's going to give us peace. He's going to give us comfort. He's going to give us blessing. He's going to give us whatever it is that we're needing in the moments that we need him. He's going to have them. So just trust in what he's doing. I had a thing that I wanted to show you guys because it had a really good, it was just a really good visual of like when we allow God to be first in our life. It worked out perfectly that it was something that Oscar had shown me because he just knows that I like visual things. Cause I work very much like visuals. If somebody is talking to me about a really complicated problem and they're telling me all of this stuff, my brain just goes, I have no idea. But if I can lay it out and look at what it is in a second, I can be fine. You know what I mean? I can figure it out and I know exactly what they're talking about. And so that's the thing. I'm just very visual with things. And I really liked, I'm just going to tell you, I don't get to show you because we're running out of time. But, I really liked this. It ended up being perfect to go with this message because it was just, it's basically it talks about what we make a priority in our life, right? And so if, you know, we make, there's these decent sized rocks, okay? And if we're putting them in, you know, in a container, right? Because those are the things that are most important in our life. And those are what's important to us and it kind of fills, right? And then if we put, gosh, I really wish I could show you guys. But if, then there's all the little things, right? Just the day-to-days that happen, that are important to us. I've got work things. I've got all these other little things besides family and all that stuff, right? Then that's the small sand that's going in and it can really fill up. So if we put all of those things first and those are all the things that are more important to us, then when we try to fit God in, he usually doesn't quite fit in the container, right? He's kind of sticking out and he's not in there. But one of the really cool things about this visual is that if you take all of those things out and you put God in the container first, and then you put all of the things that are important to you that are the more important things after God, if you put all those things in and then you fill even all the rest, working out and all the other things that are important in, then he fits perfectly fine. It all fits perfectly fine. And I really liked it as a visual because it was kind of exactly what we're talking about. If we allow all of the other things to be more important, then God's kind of just
sticking out of the container there. Barely fitting, barely making it in, you mean? But that if we allow ourselves to put God first in every single situation, then everything fits in the container and he allows everything. He blesses all of it, right? So it was just a really great visual. Maybe sometime I'll be able to show it, but like, it's just a really great visual for like how that works. Like if we allow God to go into it first, into our container first, then all the other things still fit, but they're just, there's room. But if we put all the other stuff, we'll very easily push God out. We'll just put it to the side. And we don't want to do that. We want him to be first. We want him to be the focus and the center of it all so that we can pursue the things that he has for us, the good things that he has for us. So go after God. What is your pursuit? Are you more worried about other things? Are you more concerned about going after just money and other things in life? Or is your pursuit God and God first? Okay. Just look at it in your life, because I guarantee you, if you make God the main pursuit in your life, everything else just works out. Everything just, he works it out for us. He deals with it for us, and he puts us in a much better position of peace, of understanding, of knowledge, of all of those things. Okay.
Thank you. Rod threw that. Praise God, everybody. Could we all stand? Let's pray. Is this still on? Yes, it is. Go after God. You know, I there was a couple of scriptures in that I really liked. And one of them was that it says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. How many like safety? And, you know, a lot of times, sometimes we think, well, we've got to go ask over here. Got to ask somebody over there. We've got to ask somebody over there. It's the way our world is nowadays. We think that we cannot be led just by one. But David says, it's Solomon in Proverbs. I think it's 109. No, I'm sorry. It's David. 119. I think it's verse 24, where it says, one place says, multitude of counselors, there's safety. And this other one, it says, thy word, O God, is my counselor. It's the counsel of the Lord. And that's all I could hear while my daughter was preaching this morning. I enjoy listening to my daughter preach, man, because every time she talks, she gives me something. I always pick up something. I praise God for that. The Holy Spirit gives me stuff. Yeah, and I like what sometimes when you guys come up, I like listening to you. I like listening to little Isaac. Can you say amen? Amen. Yeah, come on, man. Hey, we're going to, let's just go ahead and pray. And no, hey, go after God. We need him. We need to be led by him and by none other. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for all that you're doing. We ask you, Lord, that you would just, what we heard today, Father God, we would take it to heart. That we would be in pursuit of you and only you. That our focus would be upon you and only you. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord. Don't let us get distracted. Don't let us be taken off course by other voices, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Father, I pray for the body of Christ. That your spirit, the spirit of the living God, would lead and guide in every aspect of your life. Father, thank you for that. In Jesus' name, I pray. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Hey, it might be raining today, so be careful. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.